flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Trillville.
Yes, sir. You know you listening to Andy and Randy on a Trillville Thursday on what?
92.9.
The game. Let's go.
Yeah. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Thursday, noon hour. A lot to get to. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a couple of minutes from right now as we look ahead to championship weekend. Both games right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game coming up on Sunday. Obviously, the head coaching searches continue for some teams. Some teams have made hires. There's reports that some teams are about to make hires.
Right.
The Jaguars continue to be Jaguars. So we'll get to all that. Garth Lagerwey is going to join us in about 20 minutes as
the
we broadcast. The plug man. / president, CEO of Atlanta United, as we broadcast live from the Atlanta United training ground today. So we'll look forward to chatting with the Atlanta United president in just a few minutes, and then we'll get to the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40.
My goodness. You know what? Because I just got a text from Rusty about the Cowboys.
Okay.
Brian Schottenheimer?
Sheesh.
I mean, Clarence, it's the Clarence Hill. Clarence has been covering the Cowboys for decades.
The Cowboys. He's the Joe Patrick of the Cowboys.
He's been covering the Cowboys He's been covering the Cowboys for a long time. I don't know about that.
Well, I mean.
It's a Jerry hire.
Yeah, you get it.
It's a Jerry Jones hire.
You get it because it's exactly what we talked about. It's pretty much the same thing as hiring Kellen Moore, which is kind of what we had predicted maybe that they would do. But, yeah, it's a guy that he can boss around, and if it works, he can take all the credit from. Yep. And, it's the same thing.
All right.
So, there you go, Cowboys fans.
Way to go.
It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Well, I don't care because it's the Cowboys. And the suffering that I love to see when Cowboys fans are losing, it's not better.
If the Cowboys never win anything ever again, great.
Yeah.
Like, fantastic.
Who do we like to see more miserable? Cowboy fans or Yankee fans? Well, they're all the same.
Well, they're the same people. Those are the same people.
And the Lakers.
They're all the same people.
The Lakers and Duke.
And they're Duke basketball fans.
Yeah.
They're all the same people.
Yeah.
It's a different time of year. They wear a different hat. That's all it is, man. That's all it is. All right. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
Ding.
Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. NFL no huddle every single day to kick off the noon hour. Let's get to what the Jaguars did. people are declining the opportunity.
Yes.
Because they didn't want to work with Trent Baalke.
Yes.
So they fired Trent Baalke.
Yes.
They should have done that 3 weeks ago.
Exactly.
When the owner went on a Zoom and said, we might fire him if the coach wants us to.
But
it's a bad organization, man.
It's a bad organization, and it starts at the mustache. All right, it starts at the mustache. All right, they are a horrible run organization. It starts with the mustache guy. And, you know, when you look at I think Liam Coyne would have took that job if he wasn't there. I saw, you know, there's different situations where you hear when Byron Leftwich was auditioning for the job, he didn't want to work with Tripp Baalke.
That's right.
That's what it is.
They were going to hire him.
They were going to hire him. He's like, no,
only if you don't.
Only if you fire this guy. That's the same thing. But we'll get to AJ in a minute. But yeah, so now you're in a situation where I think Liam made the right choice because of the simple reason is this: if the Buccaneers struggle next year, they will fire Tyra Bowles and he will be the head coach.
Well, maybe because he said he didn't want it because of Baalke. Well, Baalke's gone now. Maybe they can circle back.
I don't see why they would not.
Why not? I know
Robert Saleh's going down again for a second interview. So maybe this opens the door for other candidates too that they're looking at. But yeah, it's amazing that what's his name? Jed York chose him over Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's amazing, except for when you think about how often NFL teams just do dumb stuff.
Dumb stuff.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we give them so much credit because a lot of the, especially the guys making the decisions, because they've had so much business success elsewhere.
Right.
And most of them, a lot of them are just so bad at running football teams.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, yeah, you were really good at business, but you suck at this. Yeah. Now, the 49ers, I don't think, are an example of that because they've pretty much had success. I don't fire him 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Abe brought up a point before the show about the Jaguars I hadn't really considered. Is Trevor Lawrence being there an attraction or a detraction?
I think it's more of an attraction than a detraction.
I would think it is.
Because the thing with Trevor is that he has gifts.
Yeah.
You know, he has the lot of special talents and everything like that. He just hasn't put it together. But I think the biggest thing with him, he's relatively young. He ain't cheap.
No, that's the thing. If you don't like him. Yeah. Tough break because he's there.
Yeah, because he's going to be there. He's not cheap, but I think that when you look at him and some of the pieces they have on the roster, they got some good young players on this roster. And can you find a way to overcome the mustache and try to keep it consistent up there, man? Because we've seen them win games.
Yeah. I mean, they should have championship game 5 years ago.
Yeah, we saw them. I mean, it wasn't hard to come back from a Brandon Staley coached team with the Chargers, but they were down 24. But he threw 4 interceptions in the first half, and then they come back and win that football game. So, I mean, it's one of 32, as we like to say.
Yeah.
But I think that the Baalke dude was the one that was holding that thing back.
Yeah, I think so too. So now it'll be interesting to see who they do hire now that that's not there anymore. Here's Patrick Mahomes on the radio in Kansas City earlier this week, talking about one of the storylines, one of the criticisms about him and them and all the calls they get in the playoffs, talking about the controversial officiating.
I've kind of learned that no matter what happens during the game, that something's going to come out or about if you win and you continue to win. So I don't really pay attention to it. I mean, obviously, I've been on both sides of it as far as how I felt. The calls were made, but at the end of the day, man, those guys are doing their best to make the best calls and keep it to where the players are making the plays in the game, and that's what decides the outcome. And there was a call here or there that people didn't agree with, but at the same time, I think there was a lot of other plays that really decided the outcome of that football game.
Yeah, I mean, he gets the benefit of the calls.
He does.
He does.
The hard part is, like, when we joke about it on Friday, when we're doing keys to the game, it's like, well, if it's close late, they're going to get the calls. If you look at Patrick Mahomes, they're going to get the calls. And then there's a number of calls that are kind of questionable.
Yes.
It's like, all right, we joked about it because it was true.
Yes.
And then it happened.
Yes.
So that sucks.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Like, you play against the Chiefs in the playoffs, and there's a call like that.
Especially at Arrowhead.
Especially with him, especially at Arrowhead. Yeah, there's a pretty good chance they're going to throw the flag.
He's probably going to get the call. He's going to get the call. And both of those penalties, those roughing the passes, roughing the quarterback or whatever, were bogus.
Yes.
They both are bogus. And so, that always goes back into bringing instant replay into the fact. Why don't they?
Because in real time, the first one looked like he got hit in the head.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, it didn't when you saw it slowed down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know why not. Make it challenging.
Especially from the angle where the guy who throws the flag is at.
Right.
He's behind the quarterback.
Yeah, he can't tell.
From
his angle in real time, it looked like a penalty.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I mean, if everything is going to be decided, or not everything, but so many of these things are going to be decided in HD, zoomed in, slow motion, frame by frame. Mm. Why not that? It happens so often on third and long.
Exactly.
Because those are plays where they're bringing the house, right? If you get to the quarterback, you're getting off the field.
Right.
The team's going to get the ball back. It's like, third and long in a playoff game is a huge momentum swinger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly.
And he doesn't get the, he doesn't even complete the pass, but you hit him in the head or maybe come close to hitting him in the head, and now they get a first down. They get a fresh set of
downs. They need to review this.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think that they probably do. Ben Johnson has been hired in Chicago. I'll be honest with you. I never heard Ben Johnson talk before.
Yeah.
You don't really hear coordinators
you
talk
don't.
Before.
You don't.
Here's what Ben Johnson sounds like.
There's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision. He is a phenomenal talent that had, as many quarterbacks do, an up and down rookie year. Where I see my role is as a supporter of him. This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next. I really look forward to challenging him and pushing him to continue to grow and develop.
Well, it sounds like a Ben Johnson.
Yeah. I think, you know, and I'm sure the question was geared towards what he answers as far as offense. It's other phases. What does he do in that part?
Right.
Because that is just as important as coaching that Caleb. It really, really. Now, Caleb's the biggest part of this thing, no doubt about it, because he's the damn quarterback and he's number one overall pick, and you got to get him going in order to win. But, yeah, he's got to figure out what to do with all this other team. I saw his little snide remark about the Packers. He's like,
LaFleur, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know that you were on the Lions, and y'all were, yeah.
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 Yeah, and also,
they are.
You know what they've done to you.
They've only
now
won
that
two,
you're a Bear.
They won two games in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
They're 2-18.
Against the Packers.
Against the Packers.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Just maybe win one first.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been here for about 10
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, please.
And the recent history is not good.
We talked yesterday about Aaron Glenn getting the head coach's job at the Jets.
Yeah.
Now you're here.
Godspeed.
Godspeed for him. But does he bring back Aaron Rodgers? Because there's like, well, he kind of wants Aaron Rodgers. Can Aaron Rodgers be better another year off of the Achilles? Because Aaron did play pretty good down the stretch.
He did play better.
He played good enough for that question.
Right.
He played good enough down
just
the stretch.
Well enough
just well enough down that question.
Yep. You have to be like, is it worth it?
Is it worth it? Yep.
Oh,
yep. Damn sure did.
God, that's such a hard. If you're Aaron Glenn
yeah.
and you're like, God, he did play pretty good down the stretch.
Yeah.
He is crazy, though.
Yeah.
Is it? Is the crazy worth the talent? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It used to be. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Also, he didn't used to be this crazy, did he?
Uh-huh.
Like, he's gone crazier, hasn't he?
Uh-uh.
Aaron Rodgers.
He always been like this. He just covered it up.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he just covered it up. He didn't say much. There wasn't TVs in front of his face and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody radicalized him.
You think
you
so?
Know? Yeah, something
you
happened.
You think he started getting.
Something happened during COVID.
No, it was both COVID, man.
Something happened.
He started getting that. He started hanging out with them Illuminati people.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, man. And you know.
He's in the Skull and Crossbones or something like that?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
All right.
He's in all that. He's in all that weird stuff.
Do you want that at quarterback?
I don't. I don't. But then again.
But
then again,
Glenn,
when he,
but know,
then again,
man,
when he was throwing fresh. When he was throwing 4,200 yards.
Oh, yeah.
40 touchdowns. In one pick,
yeah,
it's fine.
When he wins the MVP,
yeah.
you go to the NFC Championship game every single year.
You can do all the Illuminati that you want.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm gonna call it Aluminum Natty. Yeah, Aluminum Natty.
No, Aluminum Natty is good because it's the tinfoil hat
exactly.
that are made out of aluminum foil.
Yeah.
And Illuminati at the same time.
Aluminum Natty.
So well, good, well done, pun, Randy.
Thank you very much,
very,
Andy.
Very good. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. The president of Atlanta United, Garth Lagerwey, is going to join us in person coming up in our next segment.
Yeah, man.
I started teasing it too soon, though.
And Al Golden.
Go to break for 30 seconds.
Notre Dame, Al Golden is the new DC at Cincinnati.
Well done. Al Golden with a renaissance.
Yeah, man.
Al Golden was a sweaty tie guy.
Yes. Look at him. Damn fool.
Now he's back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Had a nice run at Notre Dame, D.C. this year, all the way to the national championship game.
Andy, you take Khalil Mack?
I'd take Khalil Mack.
Okay.
Khalil Mack wants to play another year. You don't want him? Why not? Oh, he's not coming.
Oh, no, he's not coming here.
Yeah, you know, he's not coming here. But I'd take him.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you take him?
No.
Oh, why not?
Old pass rushers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's still good, though.
He's still good.
He's still pretty good. All right, Garth Lagerwey is going to join us next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. And it all bottlenecks at the busiest part of the city.
Yeah. Ooh, that's funky.
We're just sitting here fixing city infrastructure.
Yeah, man.
No problem. Garth Lagerwey has already done it with Atlanta United this offseason. Now we're fixing city infrastructure.
But just like we talked about yesterday on the show, he's from Chicago. Yeah, Garth, it gets cold, and they shut down stuff down here, right? It's a centimeter of snow, and it's a state emergency. That's how we roll in Georgia.
Look, we are grateful here because, we work with the Falcons and stuff like that. So the Falcons opened up their bubble. We went up there to train. So, to be fair, it's all about the teamwork.
I saw that.
That cold weather brings us all together, all cozy.
Do you still have a lot of – I mean, you haven't lived in Chicago in a while.
A long time.
Still have the
– I'm old. Thanks for pointing that out.
That's not what I meant. What I meant was you've had a very successful professional career, which has taken you to other cities. You still have the cold weather stuff, or you had to go to the store, or how are you dealing with it?
The jackets make it because, you get a puffy coat because you got playoff games in November and stuff like that. You never know where those are going to be. So you got a puffy coat you can pull out of the locker somewhere, and, the kids want to go sledding and stuff like that. So you can't miss that as a dad. You got to be part
of
that.
Sure, I agree with that.
I still have the puffy North Face that my mom got me for Christmas when I was in college. But the puffy coats now are kind of slimmer. They used to be real bulky and puffy. But I'm keeping it.
You're looking like the Marshmallow Man.
I do. I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Now everybody's got the slim fit puffies. I don't know how it keeps you warm. I got that big jacked up late 90s puffy.
Stay with it, brother.
I'm going to keep it forever.
Garth, we were talking just a second ago. What is the off season for you? Because it's we were just talking about a run you guys were making a few months ago, and all of a sudden it's about to come back around. What's the off season like?
It literally dates wise. I think our last game was November 24th, and our first game is February 22nd.
Yeah.
So we got 2 months, and as you can imagine, in the front office, we are pedal to the metal all the way through that, trying to get the team set up for the next season. So this is our busiest time of year. We got the summer transfer window is pretty brutal. We got 4 weeks in the middle of the season where it's our trade deadline. Basically, you can reconfigure the team for the last time. But, yeah, this is super intense. And, look, the bad weather maybe helps us because we're on the phone all the time anyway. So then we don't have to go anywhere. We can just be, trying to get this deal done and talking to this agent and this club, that player. But we got a lot of time now not a lot of time left to try to get these guys in before opening day.
Atlanta United President CEO Garth Lagerwey joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Short off season, like you said, really quick, but busy. A lot went down, of course. New manager, new folks in the front office. Does it feel different?
It does, man. So, we last year was this exercise, and obviously we parted ways with the head coach, parted ways with the general manager. There's a whole bunch of change. And we were able to put things together at the end and make that little run. But it was one of those where you couldn't get hung up in all the emotion of that. You had to look long term and say, all right, did anything fundamentally change? Were the underlying numbers any different for those 7 games at the end of the season versus the 20 games that happened before that? And, we had some people that popped up. Chris Henderson, Ronnie Dyla, Dave Tenney. These guys, the three guys we added, they were not available in the summer.
Right.
So we had to make this work. We had to kind of patch it together, bubble gum and chewing and baling wire and all, whatever the expression is. And we did it, and credit to Rob Valentino, our interim head coach, and his staff. They did an awesome job, got us on this run. But then we brought in now 60 years of experience and about 17 titles, I think, between Dyla and Chris Henderson and Dave Tenney. So really transformed the staff. And now what we got to do, now that we got alignment, now we're across front office and head coach, now we got to go get some big players, sign those designated players, fill those spots, and now bring them in and get ready for 2025.
How close or can you tell us, are you close to these DP-type signings? Because, I mean, we all know that, you know, we love the guys that are here, Brad and everybody, but there are some spots open that usually are the guys that help this team score, win games like that. How close are we to maybe getting some of those guys over here?
Yeah, look, and what I would say is we got our quarterback in Alexi Marinchik. That's the guy we signed there, but we know we need to get some wide receivers. We need to get some left tackles. We need to get some defensive ends, some of these high-priced guys that come in and can really, really help the team, impact the team, win games for us, right? And what I would say is some of what we're doing when we're shopping for these players, we're subject to what happens in other countries. So in Europe, the transfer window for them closes on February 3.
Okay.
So anytime we're signing a player, one of these big high-profile designated players, they have to, a team from which we're buying the player, they got to replace him. So the pressure is really going to come over the next 10 days because those teams in Europe, presumably if they're going to sell us one of their best players, right, then they're going to have to bring someone in to replace him. In order to bring that person in, they got to do that before February 3rd.
Right.
So that means they got to complete the deal with us before they can do that in most cases. So there's this artificial pressure, but likewise, those teams in Europe are going to wait as long as they can to get the best offer they possibly can. So what I think is going to happen, and this is a best guess, Saturday will be the last round of games for most teams before the window closes. There'll be one more round of games that next Saturday, to be clear, but that's really pushing it too late. You know, most teams aren't going to hold on, play their guys on a week from Saturday, which would be February 1st,
right,
and then hope, hey, I can get this guy out and I can get another guy in 48 hours before the window closes. So what we think is going to happen is these games are going to get played Saturday, and then Sunday, Monday, Then the rubber's going to meet the road. Now, maybe those teams can't say no to us. Yeah. No, we don't want to say it. We don't want to sell the player. We don't get the price isn't right, whatever. But I think that's the timing of it. I think in the next couple of days, we're going to get a lot of movement one way or the other. And our eggs are never all in one basket. You always got alternatives to, hey, if this guy falls through, we're going to get this guy. So it'll be an iterative process. It'll be live for the next couple of days. But the next 10 days are going to be exciting, I think.
Who are they?
Damn. Well done. Wells
got him.
Can't, and I'm going to give you a canned answer. We cannot talk about players under contract to other teams.
Oh,
you know, internationally, tampering technically doesn't apply, but people still get upset about it when you talk about their players. So
yeah,
we don't want to poison.
Probably don't want to
here.
Show your hand.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Tell us about.
We're going to sign attackers. Attackers and proven winners.
Okay.
And guys that have, where you'll be able to look at and be like, why did Atlanta United sign this guy? Oh, it's because he scored this many goals and he has this many assists and he's played for this long in this league that I've heard of and I watch on TV.
Attackers that people may be familiar with in Atlanta?
We're
working on them. We're trying to get some names out there. I wanted to ask you about the new manager because, you know, as Atlanta United, we've been fans. We know about, you know, Mr. Blank and how he goes about his business. And there's one of those things where, I won't say no expense or whatever like that, but the net to go get him. What was it about him that you sided on him? Because I'm sure you went and interviewed – because we were talking about you got the plug. You were everywhere, international and everything. But what was it narrowed down to him to be the manager for this team?
Yeah, look, he's a proven winner, and he's got titles in multiple countries. Won the title in Norway, won the title in Scotland, won the title in MLS with New York City.
Right.
Did well in Belgium when he coached there. So we wanted to, just like we look at the players, we say, how's a player going to adjust to MLS? Well, one thing that's really correlative is that correlates well. Sorry, I'll try to speak in English. Is if they've done well in another country that's outside their home country, if they've done well in two countries, all right. Well, now when you move to MLS in a new country with a new language, new culture, probably if you've been successful in other places, you got a good chance you're going to figure it out in MLS. Coaching, same way. So if you've won titles in other countries, proven winner, you know what you're doing in terms of being on the field. Will you adapt? Well, Ronnie's won the title in MLS, so, you know, we feel good that, you know, he's already adapted. Obviously, this club a little different than New York City, but look, we're trying to create a welcoming environment. He came in, he brought in two guys, Elliot and Kenny, with him. Those guys are great guys. We carried over Carl and Matt Lowry from our existing staff, so we really got a good fusion, we think, of putting those people together. And then a new GM, new sporting director in Chris Henderson, new director of performance in Dave Tenney, and then our player development head we hired last summer. So, you know, just a completely new lineup for us on the field, off the field. And I think Ronnie's a huge part of what we want to do going forward, and he's a proven winner.
Garth Lagerwey joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as we broadcast live from the Atlanta United training ground, the Atlanta United president. Tell us about Chris Henderson. And we talk about the manager there and all the success he's had in various places. Chris Henderson's been in MLS for a long time. I know you know him from past stops. Tell us about him.
Yeah, man, we worked together in Seattle, won a couple titles together. That's always a good thing, good foundation. He's dashingly good-looking, you know, coming to us from South Beach in Miami. He's been hanging with Messi and those guys for the last
nice
couple of years
and everything,
and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, he's extremely well-dressed, man.
I hope he's not coming like right now. It's pretty cold.
Yeah, look, I mean,
I guess he's been here.
When you're me, you got to surround yourself with things that are a little bit nicer, a little prettier than you are. So, you know, we're doing that with Chris. Nah, but he's an awesome person, man, and he is salt of the earth. You know, he was the hardest-working guy in the national team in the 90s when he came through, and that's really bled through. I think he's the best talent evaluator in all of MLS, and we by adding that core competency to us, somebody again with 20 years of experience, I think we're just night and day better in terms of what we want to do going forward.
What about some of the young players in your roster? I mean, we talked about the designated players and everything, but there are some young players on here that, you know, every year we find like, well, this young guy's coming in, he's from the academy, he's homegrown, all these things. Tell us about some of these young guys that you're hoping that you can have some of those elevations onto the big club this year.
100%, and look, Ronnie Dyla's got a great track record of taking these young guys, James Sands in New York, Tati Castellanos in New York, and making them, you know, full-blown international players. So Johnny Fortune was really good for us at the end of last year, played some playoff games for us. Noah Cobb, you know, Brooks Lennon, our starting right back, he's out. So he's got a shoulder injury. So Noah Cobb's going to get a shot at playing right back there. Noah Cobb's a kid did well for us in the playoffs as well. Efrain Morales, another center back like Noah, who's done well. So we have a number of guys, a number of spots. Edwin Mosquera, the guy, he got banged up at the end of last year, but he's a real speed merchant. Scored a great goal against New York Red Bulls late in the season. He's a guy that we think can be really impactful for us. So, look, we have three or four of these guys, and we got a young goalkeeper in Jaden Hibbert, who was the best shot stopper in the lower level in the minor leagues last year. So we got a bunch of guys with some tools, and now we're going to put them out there with the big boys and see who sinks and see who swims.
What are the expectations in the first year with all of these new faces in charge?
Yeah, look, we got to nail these two signings. You know, we got to get these two DPs because that'll change our trajectory.
Right.
You talk about match winners.
Yep.
You know, we got
yep.
one. All of a sudden, you got three. That's a different ballgame. I do think Ronnie. One of the things he's really good is getting the best out of the players that we have. And I think like guys like Bartosz Sliszcz, Steven Gregerson, their second year in MLS, I think they're going to be better. If you look at the patterns, those guys come from Europe. There's always this adjustment period. They have to play because the European season starts in the summer, and then they got to play the whole calendar year. Those guys have to play 18 months without a break. They get beat down.
Whoa.
And we saw that at the end of last year. Right. And so they're going to come in rested and healthy. Without Bartosz had to play for Poland in the middle of the season too in the Euros, so that takes a lot out of you mentally. Anyway, we have a number of things that I think are going to make us better than we were last year. Look, our stated goals are real simple still. We got to finish in the top four in the East. That gives us the best chance of home games in the playoffs. Home games in the playoffs when we put 70,000 people in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that tends to go well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that went pretty good before. So we want more of those. That's a big goal of ours. We want to advance in the other competitions and start getting to the point where we're playing, you know, knockout games in Leagues Cup. We're qualifying for Champions Cup. Doing those things to put us on a international scale, not just a national scale, but look, the goal at the end of the day is to win the thing.
Damn right.
We want to go win MLS Cup. Now, have we had a bunch of change? We have. Is it going to take a couple of months? Like, people have been asked, like, you know, what's your expectation for opening day? I don't have any expectations for opening day. I want to get everybody here by opening day.
Yeah.
Right. You know, get the best lineup on the field and all that. But at the end of the day, it's going to take a couple weeks, couple months to get these guys to gel, get everything to fit together. But hopefully we can do that, and then we'll tweak a little bit in the summer if we need to, and then hopefully be in a spot to really go for it by the end of the season.
Love it.
Garth, thank you.
Appreciate
for,
you so much, Garth.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for the time.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
Garth Lagerwey there, Atlanta United president, CEO, as we broadcast live from the Atlanta United training facility. We'll be right back with the back page with Bo. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here broadcasting live from the Atlanta United training ground. Thanks again to Garth Lagerwey, president, CEO, plug man.
Plug.
For coming by and hanging out. That's a fun guy to talk to.
Yeah, man. Yeah. A lot of energy.
Yeah, a lot of energy, really laid back, obviously. A lot of success on his resume in various
like I said, yeah, we won a couple titles together.
Yeah, a couple titles together. which is absolutely what you want.
Yes.
Like, clearly what people are craving here again in Atlanta with United. And yeah, man, he's got his guy.
He got his
guy. Chris Henderson's his guy. Yeah. They worked together for a long time.
There's no support like that.
Had a lot of success, and now he can, you know, nothing against Carlos Bocanegra. Obviously, he had a lot of success here too early.
But they weren't familiar with each other.
Yeah, and so he wanted his guy in that role, and now he can probably relax a little bit as far as that goes.
Yeah, because he was doing the role of so many people after everybody was let go or whatever. But I thought the most important thing he talked about was what's going to happen this weekend.
It is the most important.
Yeah, far as, because he understands that, and everybody who knows this game, this league, the most important players most of the time are your DPs.
Yeah, you win and lose. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of important depth and you young guys through your system and development and all that stuff. But you live and die by those three guys who you pay the most money to.
Right.
And when they're Miguel Almirón, Joseph Martinez, and guys like that, and they're firing on all cylinders, you're winning championships.
Yep.
When they're other guys who have been the DPs over the last handful of years who don't work out. And
where the hell is Barco at?
I don't know. Flopping somewhere.
Big.
Getting kicked and falling over.
Where's Barco at with his strong
hands? Who's the other guy? The other guy that I
Pity.
Really. Pity. Yeah.
Yeah, Pity.
There was the other, the really fast winger. Is that, who is it? Well, I love Vial, but yeah, that guy was a lot of fun early. I think the guy I'm talking about might have even been here last year, the year before. Lefty. Super crafty, but just didn't have a lot of success. I loved him early, but then like the results just kind of.
Not Almada.
No.
Almirón? No.
I would have thought Abe would know doing pre post.
Him and his pretty shirt.
Yeah, he's the Atlanta United.
Yeah, him and his pretty shirt.
Pre post guy. Maybe I'm describing him poorly.
Yeah, that could
it
be.
Doesn't matter.
It don't matter. It don't matter, man. But yeah, this damn cowboy thing is funny to me, man. But you know what? It's not funny because it's Jerry.
What, like, cowboy thing?
Brian, they're really thinking about hiring is Shoddy.
Oh yeah.
Not like Shoddy. I got a chance. I remember he was OC. I mean, yeah, the OC in Georgia. Wasn't pretty.
When was that?
That was, oh my God, because it was Chaney.
Was it pre-Kirby?
Was it? I'm saying Chaney. So he had to come. Was he before Chaney? Was he with Mark Richt last year?
Okay.
I can't remember. Okay. But anyways, he was the OC in Georgia. He's like he's going to be the HC in Dallas.
He was the OC in Seattle. Did not go well.
No, did not.
And, yeah, sounds like that is all going to earn him the head coaching job of the day. Which is, like a fairly prominent job.
Yeah.
Head coach of the most lucrative sports franchise in the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get it. Jerry wants a guy he can yell at. He wants a guy that won't argue with him. He wants a guy that he can fire if it doesn't go well.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny. Yeah, it sucks. Sucks for the Cowboys fans. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Brian Schottenheimer is amazing. Maybe he'll go on to recreate the dynasty. Maybe he's the next Jimmy Johnson.
Maybe he is. All right. He was with the Dogs. Oh, don't have it on here. Oh, 15. He's coordinator 15.
Coordinator 15.
So that was that was right before Kirby got here.
Barco's in Russia. Pity is in Argentina.
Okay.
He's had a lot of injury problems.
Okay.
Again.
Say Barco's in Russia?
Barco's in Russia.
They sent his ass to Russia?
Yeah.
Damn.
He's got a face for Russia.
He does. He has his face matches those woolly hats they put on his head.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's got to drink vodka in the morning.
Yeah, wasn't the same since damn Checker made that song.
Nah, I ruined everything with this song. Great song, though. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. The back page with Bo every single day at this time. Hello, Bo.
Well, fellas, the feds think they have their guy or guys for Chilean nationals who authorities believe had a role in the burglary of Joe Burrow's house have been arrested. This actually happened about 12 days ago.
Wow.
So you can actually, there is newly released as of this week, there is dash cam or body cam footage of these guys. So the guys get pulled over. They were in possession of an LSU shirt, Bengals ball cap, and some really nice suitcases and whatnot. When the cop originally pulls up to the guys and gets the guy to roll down the window, the guy in the passenger seat actually has on a Bengals hat. All right? So then they go through all the rigmarole of getting the guys out of the car and whatnot, and they find reason to search the car. Then they get, in some body cam footage, they show an LSU shirt being pulled out of a really nice bag. So they also had some automatic center punch tools that are commonly used by South American groups to break glass on houses. And they have cell phone, I guess, tracing stuff that puts them in the area of Cincinnati or wherever Joe's house was.
Sounds like they got
the guys.
They may have. But see,
it
one
sounds
of the things,
like they got him.
One of the things that led to these guys being pulled out of the car in the first place. Look, if you're going to engage in illegal activity and even be carrying around suspicious things or things that
are
yours,
limit.
Go the speed limit one, but
yes.
Also maybe get your stuff together and kind of maybe have a story.
Where are you guys headed to today? Where are you going? Where? Orlando? Wrong way. Florida's that way. Yeah, but Florida, Orlando is that way. You're going the wrong direction to get to Florida.
They were where when they got pulled over?
I'm assuming they were like Florida Panhandle or something like that. I don't know the exact state where they were, but it has to be somewhere in the South. Yeah.
If they were in Ohio,
okay.
It would have been real funny.
Yeah.
If they were
in Ohio and they said they were going to Orlando, yeah, that's pretty damn funny right there. But, if you're going to, like, steal stuff, like, you got a key in the trunk.
Yeah.
Don't speed.
Yeah.
Don't speed.
No, it's always a good idea to try to only break one law at a time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're breaking a big law, too, like, don't break a little one.
You know
what
they mean?
Might catch you for the little one, and then you'll get busted
then you get
for the
big one.
Yeah.
I wonder, are they still going to give them a speeding ticket?
every charge. That, yeah. No, so what he actually did, I watched the whole video or the dash footage or whatever, the body cam footage. So he actually got pulled over. The guy had changed lanes and threw on his blinker after he changed lanes. So you got to throw on your blinker before.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even going to give him a ticket for it originally until he started asking for their IDs and whatnot. So it's kind of funny. Yeah.
Until they started failing.
Dummies.
Yeah. Failing the easiest test.
Oh, we're going to Orlando.
Yeah, that's a great question, though. Like, if you're moving, like, a lot of drugs and you get pulled over for expired license tabs.
Yes.
Do they tack on the 125 for expired license
tabs?
They have to. Sure they do.
They have to. Yeah, you have to. That's what I pulled Jeremy for.
All right, you get 20 years, and also we need that 125
for
those expired tabs.
We need that 125 from you.
How do I know exactly how much expired license tabs cost?
Tell me why, Andy.
Because I got pulled over for expired license tabs last week.
Tell me why, Andy.
Because I'm lazy. I didn't get my new tags. I'm lazy. I'm good now. I got them.
I got them now.
I hadn't been pulled over in 20 years.
Really?
It had been 2000. It was 2005 the last time I got pulled over. So,
nice record.
My run of living clean has ended. They got me, but I paid it. We're good.
Speaking of people being lazy and doing things illegally. Come on, young people. When you turn 21, go get a new ID. Get rid of the vertical driver's license. That's just a side note. Because you know when you're under 21, you have a vertical driver's license.
I did not know that.
When you're under 21, they give you a vertical driver's license.
Okay.
And it says you're under 21 on it, and we're not supposed to take those in bars and restaurants for the person.
Oh, alcohol. I got you.
Because do they expire on your 21st
no,
birthday?
No, they don't.
They don't expire.
Oh, they don't expire.
We'll have
23
and 24-year-old kids coming in with these vertical driver's licenses, and I'm like, look, be a responsible adult. Go get your new driver's license. We're not supposed to take these things. Anyways.
Really?
Speaking of people catching felonies. Three Philadelphians, check these names out, Robert Capone, Leanne Branco, and Joseph Parenti are facing 60 felony counts for selling over $200,000 worth of fake Jason Kelce memorabilia.
What?
Yes. Huh. 1,100 items, including helmets, jerseys, photos, and footballs. One of the the female actually got a picture at an autograph signing with Jason Kelce so that she could authenticate all the fake stuff.
Oh.
So
it's all fake autographs.
It's all fake autographs.
All autographs and autograph stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
That was something that was big in like the equipment room. The equipment managers, they would always be doing that.
Doing what?
Like signing autographs?
Really?
On people's stuff? Yeah, yeah.
Like faking it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Only autograph I've ever faked is Barbara Lundstrom.
I was good at signing Miss Dick Michael. Yeah. That one day, y'all remember them signed papers? Oh, that might have been just.
What is it?
Signed papers. Like, throughout the week, your papers, then you had to get them signed by your mom and them.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I was like, majoring in forging mama's signature.
Yeah, or if you got like a real bad grade on the paper, you had to take it home.
But mama knew I had signed papers. She knew that. But I think she just wanted to accumulate and see how dumb I was a whole month into this forging racket that I had of my mother's signature before she got at me. There's no way my mama let a month go by. And then on the next month, hey, you still getting signed papers? And I was like, no, ma'am. Then what are these?
Oh,
she had all of them.
She had you.
Yeah, dog.
She even let you lie.
Yes.
Wow.
She let me lie.
That's called entrapment.
She let me lie.
Wow. That's a month's worth of
ass whooping.
Yeah, all built up into one. Ooh, I bet that was a tough one.
Speaking of stuff being sold in Philadelphia, so the Eagles themselves are now slinging the white stuff, quite literally.
Eagles are selling Coke?
The Eagles are selling 100 pint-sized containers of snow from the playoff game this past weekend. $50 a pint. You can get your very own pint-sized container of actual snow that fell during the football game in Philadelphia over the weekend.
Isn't
it is shipped
just
with dry ice to make sure that it gets there.
So. Oh, it's shipped in dry ice.
Yeah. But, I mean, what are you going to do with snow? You're just going to stick it in your freezer and pull it out
for like
30 seconds? Hey, you want
to
see my snow from Philadelphia?
I'm just not one of – are you that sentimental?
About some stuff.
About some stuff like
– I've got a piece of the kingdom.
Okay.
Like a little chunk of the kingdom.
I've got some dirt.
That's what I'm talking about, like dirt.
World Series dirt, but snow?
But, like, is your dirt authenticated?
Yeah, yes. How do you know it's dirt?
Yeah. Oh, it is?
You got it yourself, didn't you?
No, because they won the World Series away.
Right.
I do have some dirt from Truist Park, though, yes.
On the last game at Turner, they gave everybody a little vial of Turner Field dirt.
Okay.
I have some of that somewhere.
Okay.
But, I mean, yeah.
All right, let's check it.
Yeah.
So over to Buffalo now. We all know the stories of Bills Nation. You know, anytime they beat a team or do
Bills
something
Mafia.
Like that, you know, the Bills Mafia raises money for certain players' charities and whatnot. So after by Tuesday night, after the Bills dispatched of the Baltimore Ravens, Bills Mafia took to and made a GoFundMe for Breakthrough T1D, a type 1 diabetes research and advocacy organization that Mark Andrews is supporting, and they raised $25,000 off of 1,000 donations just by Tuesday night. So congratulations to Bills Mafia.
I think this is a great thing because it's for a great cause.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? But if they did it because he dropped the ball.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So if he catches it, he's not getting out of this. Mm-mm. He's good. Okay. I'm just checking. Again, it's hard for me because they did it for the money is actually going to a fine charity.
Sure.
But it's some bull crap.
Why?
All right. Because you did it because you're making fun of him. You're making fun of him.
Well, you kind of are, but.
Yeah, no, don't you know, kind of. You're making fun of this dude.
But this is not the first time they've done that, though.
Thanks. I know it was. And what was the other time? They gave it to Andy Dalton because Andy Dalton or somebody beat
the.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They give it to the person that helps the Bills.
Yes. All right.
Right.
Whatever. Great, good-hearted people. I love it. Give money to somebody less fortunate than you. But the reason why you did it is crap.
Well, kind of, but
crap. You know. Crap.
No, you're speaking of something that I've a belief that I've long held. It's like just because something is for charity doesn't like exonerate the whole process.
Right.
Because that's what people, when we give LeBron a hard time about the decision, it's like the whole thing was dumb. They're like, well, they raised a bunch of money for charity. So he could just gave the money to the Boys and Girls Club charity anyway.
Yeah.
Still sucks he went on TV and did the stupid decision. Like, come on. Like, it doesn't make it okay just because you give money away. Luis Araujo. That's the name I was looking for. Luis
Araujo.
I thought that guy was going to be awesome. I really, really like watching that guy play. Didn't work out here in Atlanta. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.